As I was looking forward to today, and as I've shared with some throughout the week, it's like, boy, I tell you what, Sunday comes around fast, you know? It's like, it feels like it's like a kid going to school. Remember as a kid in school, the weekend would come, you thought you had two long days before you go back to school, and before you know it, it was Sunday night, and back in my days, I would hear dun 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 8 o'clock at night, it was bonanza on Sunday night, I think. It's like, maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. But it was like, oh, school's tomorrow. Where did the weekend go? We think of the same thing when summer comes. I know the kids, you know, it's like, summer, we got 3 months off. And it's like, now we're at the end of the 3 months. And it's like, get your backpacks, your book bag, whatever. Get ready to go to school. And all the kids are going, what? Where did the summer go? Wow. But as I was looking at this week and saying, Lord, Sunday's coming, you know, it'd be nice to kick back sometime. But, you know, you try to stay just as you probably do as well. You just try to stay listening to God. You look every day, whether it's Monday or Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, even on Sunday. We might even try to on Sundays. Want to hear from God. Amen. And as God was working with me this week, And I was just searching out some things. Renewed kept coming across my heart. And it was just, I've got a little hollow up here. I don't know if it's hitting the bench. Well, it's not hollow, it's like a resounding thing. But renewed, you know, these things kept coming at me. And so as I would be sitting there, I would go through a Bible program, and I got this one I just put on here, and it's pretty cool, but I would just put in renew. And we're going to go to some of these Psalms and Romans. But in Psalms 51:10, I want to make sure I don't have that listed here. I thought, I'm going to need, God create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. We're going to look at some of these areas of renewing. And I would say this, are you living a renewed life? Are you living a renewed life? That should be something that we ought to ask ourselves every day, because of the things of this world that we continually have to deal with, put up with, go through, and how it affects you. I don't care sometimes how strong of a Christian you are, of man or a woman of faith. There's things in this world sometimes that will come on you, and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm just feeling like the weight of the world or the weight of these problems or the weight of the news or whatever the case is that's going on out there, that I just starts kind of getting you down. But if I'm living truly a renewed life and my life is renewed through Him, amen, then these things ought to just bounce off of me like, whatever, you know, like water on the duck's back, I guess, you know. But sometimes it doesn't. But I've got to ask myself, am I living a renewed life? To renew would be this, to make like new, to restore to freshness, to restore vigor or perfection. Now, these are things that when we come to God and when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it talks about we're being renewed and renewing ourselves. Renew your mind. We've heard that, you know, our heart is being transplanted into a new heart. All of things take place as we receive Christ. But to restore freshness, to restore vigor, perfection. Here's one to make new spiritually, to regenerate. When we hear this of being renewed, to make an extensive change in, to rebuild something. How many here, when you received Christ in your life, you felt like you're getting rebuilt? There's major things being done in your house. You're being remodeled, refreshed, reworked, redone, whatever the case might be, internally in your man, because as you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, He comes in. He comes in by that of not Jesus physically coming into your body. He comes into you by that of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit, our text today is going to end up there at Titus. But the Holy Spirit is the one that does a lot of these works for sure within us. The initial step is receiving Him with our mouth, God, forgive me of my sins. I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He's your Son. You sent him to die for me. Cleanse me of my sins. I repent, ask for forgiveness. Come now, Lord, and fill me. When we begin that direction, we begin, he just put a sign on your chest. You might as well put one on your chest and your back, under remodeling, you know, being renewed. And he's going to do this day by day. It's not a one-time deal. Did you think you're going to be renewed in one day? Does a house get renewed in one day, remodeled in one day? No. But to make an extension change or to rebuild, he begins to rebuild us. We were created and made in his image, but because of the sin and the fall, we fall away from him. But he sent Jesus to die for us, and he comes into us, and the Holy Spirit joins us and brings us into that relationship as well as God speaks into us. And then God, through that of the Holy Spirit, he begins to move your rooms around. He begins to clean up the cobwebs in those rooms. He sorts out your closets, and he gets rid of things in your closet that shouldn't be there. He tries to help you move these things out, rearrange the furniture, all because he wants to rebuild you, refresh you, reinvigorate you. He wants you to become perfect, mature in him, mature in Christ, become perfected in him. To think of that word renew is to become new or as new. Any way you look at it, renew, renewing, renewed, whatever the case is, God shares about this in his word. Now, as I was thinking about this week, and God was bringing me down this path of renewing and looking in Psalms and some other scriptures, I had to quickly go back. It came back to me in my memory, and this goes back probably 23 or 24 now, that as I was in my secular job traveling and all that, and I've shared this many times where when I'm driving and looking at things, and when things stick out to me at that time, and even today, I try to do it as much today as I did back then, but I would ask God, what is it that you're trying to tell me in that scene, in that picture of that field or in that barn or whatever the case may be? And I went by this site many times going to a particular area that I would travel to, and it had a nice fence there, and it went around this property, and from the outside it looked so nice. It was like, wow, that's a great privacy fence. But as you're maybe on a hill going down into it or coming from the other hill going down into the little valley or the low, at the end of the hill, if you're up on the hill, you could look over the fence and you could see that was a junkyard. It's like, that's a beautiful fence, Lord. That's a great place. Must be a nice place behind that wall. And it turns out that I look over the wall, and what do I see? Damaged cars. Rusted cars. And I said, okay, now I saw this many times, many, many times. And I began to ask the Lord, because as I was driving that road, I'd just be fixated on that thing, and I'd still stay between the lines. It's great. I don't know how I did it back then. Now as I'm getting older, if I look to the right, I go right. If I go left, I go left. And my wife is there saying, keep your eyes on the road. But back in those days, being a little younger, equilibrium was nicer, I guess. I could just, you know. But so I said, Lord, what is this? And he says, that's like people's lives that are damaged and have gone through life. And they don't look so good, do they? I go, no, they don't. You know, there's cars in there that are rusted. There's cars in there that are dented. There's cars that are just messed up totally. But I said, yeah, but Lord, there's people that restore those things sometimes. They go into those lots, and they look for a car that they want, and they don't care how bad it looks. They just see the model, the year, whatever it is, the body type, and they go, I'll buy that for $200, $150, whatever they're selling them for. And I'm going to take it on a trailer. It doesn't have its own power to get to my garage, but I'm going to put it on a trailer. I'm going to haul it to my shop, and I'm going to restore it. And God says, that's what I do to people's lives. When they receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I restore them. I refresh them. I renew them. And sometimes those cars are put back even better than what they started out at sometimes. Some of those cars had rust on it from just age, just the elements of the weather, just beating on them and just rusting them on, all these things that happened to them. You know, many of us here today, you had a rusty life in the past. Some of those cars had dings and dents and were just like obliterated, you know, with dents and all that in the fenders. Some of you, it's just like the car accident. You've got dinged into a lot of times in life. You were in an accident. Something happened where your fender got crunched. Your hood got moved around. Your bumper fell off, you know. And as you come to God and as you receive him, Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's when God steps in and says, I'm going to restore you now. I'm going to renew you. I'm going to refresh you, if you will allow me to do that. See, we've got to allow him to work in us, amen? Sometimes we come to him and we say, okay, I've received Jesus, that's all I want, leave me alone now, God. And he'll leave you alone, but you're going to be a miserable Christian. But if we can come to him and say, here I am, Lord, just like those junked cars, just like those dinged up things in there, you're going to restore me and put me into the best shape that I've ever been. Matter of fact, when they restore those cars, what do they do after about 8 months, 10 months, 3 years? It takes sometimes time to build those cars back up, amen? They've got to look for the parts. They've got to go world, nationwide looking for a fender, looking for the upholstery, whatever the case is. These people are so fanatical, they'll take a lifetime to restore a car. Jesus will take a lifetime of yours to renew you continually. You are being renewed until you die. We should be. Don't get to that level of saying, well, I've arrived and this is where I want to go with God, because God's going to say, no, Tim, there's more that I want to do in you. There's more that really needs to be brought out of you to clean you up even more. Really? Yes. As man will take umpteen years to restore a treasure of a car, why would God not do the same thing to take a lifetime to restore your life? To bring you into that relationship and that level with him that you're saying, life is good. I hope everyone in here today can say, life is good. There's a lot of people out there in that world that can't say, life is good. They say, life is hell. Life is the pits. I don't even want to live anymore because life is so bad. A lot of people like that. So no matter way how you phrase it, God shares in his word. I look at Psalms 19:7. It says this, the instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The instructions that the Lord gives us, they're perfect. They're not haphazard. They're not just like, we'll try it and see if it works for you. You know, what he did for others, he'll do for you. He's no respecter of persons. His word is the word for everyone in here today. He doesn't think of one higher than the other. He doesn't think of, oh, this person I love better than this person over here or these groups or whatever. God's word, God's instruction is truly that, is perfect for everybody. And above that, it says here, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. We come to him with a lot of inexperience with what the God of our creation wants us to do. So we come to him and we say, Lord, I don't understand it. Remember a few weeks back I had that message? What is it, God, that you want from me? What more can I do? What is it? I guess I say that, and I guess when he prompted that in my spirit, I'm assuming that there's a few of you out there. Have you ever come up to God that way as well? What is it, God, that you want from me? We feel like we've given him our all when we say, well, I've got Jesus, my Lord and Savior. What more do you want? But he wants more than that, remember? He's making the inexperienced wise. As we become wise in the things of God, as God infuses us with his wisdom, we become to have the mind of Christ. Remember, we've shared up on that. Talks about that. Renewing your mind. Have the mind of Christ. God is into renewing us. You've got to say, Lord, here I am. Renew me. refresh me, restore me. So once again, Psalms 19:7, the instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. And then just to Psalms 23:3, He renews my life, He leads me along the right path for His name's sake. Psalms 23. We go to that a lot, don't we, at certain times. He renews my life. He leads me along the right path for His name's sake. Now, when we do these things for God, when God gets a hold of your life and He does a changing, renewal, restoring of your life, He's doing that not to bring glory and honor to you, but to do what? To bring honor and glory to Him. And so as He is renewing us, as we are becoming more Christ-like, as He's renewing our mind, we have that mind of Christ, as we are allowing Him to rearrange our life. Anybody here had your life rearranged by God? Was it fun? No! What is it, God, that you want from me? You know, you're restored. What are you doing? I was happy right where I was at. Leave me alone. Just let me on this path. Don't pay attention to me, God. Just let me go through life. Don't watch me. I see, heaven's ahead of me here. And when that time comes, I'll go. But God is not like that. When He restores you, refreshes you, renews you, He wants to do it for a purpose. He leads you along the right path for His name's sake. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by renewing. We've got to renew our mind. I think a couple of things for sure in our lives that have to really be renewed is our hearts have to be changed and our mind has to be renewed, because we have been so inundated with the things of this world, because prior to coming to Christ, we were of this world. The world spoke volumes into our life. The world spoke volumes into your mindset, into your intellect. Mind and your heart was just receiving so much of the world's stuff coming into your heart that before you know it, you don't even realize it, your heart begins to be kind of hardened. Remember, we had shared briefly a few weeks back about that officer in Milwaukee. Before his conversion with Christ, he said he'd go to these drug dealers and different things like that, and he would just rather just, dealing with all the rough things in life and seeing the bad elements. Remember when he said that one time when somebody was shot and I was on the way over to that area of that neighborhood, I thought, I hope it's that drug dealer so I can reach down, grab him by the collar and say, you're going right where you belong, hell. But then when Christ came into his life, things changed. He had a different mindset. He prayed for those that he would arrest. He prayed for those that he would put in jail. That's a totally different guy. That's the same for us. When Christ comes into our life, things need to be rearranged and changed. Our mind begins to be shaken up to be like, don't think that anymore. Your heart becomes like, rather than calloused and going, well, they deserve it, I'm not going to help them, they need to be right where they're at, blah, 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 blah. That's a hardened heart. When you have Christ come in and do a heart transplant, all of a sudden you have compassion and you want to reach out and try to help them, not be used and abused by people, but you want to help them with the honesty of God and the gospel and saying, here, can I help you? So how are all of these renewal things done for us? How do we come to be renewed? My goodness. If you want to just move your way over to Titus, it's just right before Philemon and right after 2 Timothy, I think. Titus 3:5. Remember, we're renewing. God says He'll renew us. We need to be renewed. I tell you what, it's wonderful to be renewed. Amen. You know, we know about renewal, don't like back in the days of it comes to mind now that I'll just throw it out there, but in the days of magazines and all, before all the internet stuff, you know, you had magazine subscriptions. You still do today, but maybe not as many. And after that first year, before it was up, they would send you a renewal notice to renew that, to continue on. If you want this product, you need to renew with us. You know, as we are with God, we just need to be continually renewed like that subscription. Okay, Lord, I'm coming to my anniversary year of being born again. Renew in me. I want another year of you to continue to work in me and refresh me and work in me. Our license on our car are only good for, what, a year? So about 30 or 45 days out, 60 days, the state will send you a tag saying, don't forget to renew your license if you want to continue to drive legally. The world is in the ways that they have, into renewal. There's things in life that have to be renewed. God's Word says He wants to renew us and will renew us. When we get that salvation prayer and we said that, you know, many times some of us think that was it. There's nothing else after that. We've said the salvation prayer, and now we're good to go. But there's those times that we've said it over and over already this morning. You need to be renewed. You've got to become renewed in spirit, renewed in your mind, renewed in... I tell you what, I like it as well, as we're getting there. As you're turning to Titus... Isaiah 40:31, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. That's a good thing to hear, isn't it? Find somebody that's like, ugh, I'm exhausted. Oh, man, I just wore out. Well, here, let God renew you. Let Him lift you up like that of an eagle. And I'm going to tell you, as you look at these eagles and all that, you don't see them doing a whole lot of work of whom. I mean, they do a lot in the initial of get themselves up to the elevation or where they want to as far as in the air. But they're looking for that current of air that they can just hold their wings and just soar. I want to tell you, as Christians in this life today, the Lord would say, you need to soar. You need to soar with me. S-O-A-R, not S-O-R-E. Don't be, many people, we got people that are sore, but you need to be soaring. I'm a sore Christian. No, be a sore Christian. There's another message there. Write that down. A sore, are you a sore or a sore? But God would say, you need to be soaring with me. And I'm going to tell you, when God is there and you're allowing Him to be that draft of air, that current of air to be on, all He says, just spread out your arms and your wings or whatever. If nothing, I find that sometimes maybe through our times of worship, lifting up your hands before Him. Maybe you get to that level and you're just into that realm of worship. Times of refreshing. All of a sudden, you just feel like you're just soaring above things. Oh, yeah, look, there's my problem down there. Huh, doesn't look so bad now. It's way down there. It's pretty small. Soar with God. Titus 3:5 says, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Sounds like they just came from a family reunion. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. His mercy, He saved us, not by what we've done. That's a thing that we've come to understand. But you got to be reminded sometimes. It's not what you've done that you deserve salvation. You can't work enough to get salvation. You can't serve long enough to get salvation. You can't give enough finances. You can't do anything to just gain eternal life. It is through Jesus Christ to receive Him as your Lord and Savior, not by what you've done, but according to His mercy, He saves us or saved us And it's through the washing of regeneration and renewing. Renewing of what? Renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. It seems like every few weeks, if not every other week, maybe it ought to be every week, but we come to the conclusion that the Holy Spirit is important for today. Many churches speak against it. Many people don't want to go that way because they don't understand it. Well, so what? If you don't understand it and it's good, still go for it. It's in God's Word. It's part of His Trinity. Amen. Just because I don't truly understand everything about electricity, and I know if I touch a bare wire, I might get zzzed, you know. It doesn't keep me from going and turning the light switch on to have light in my house. It doesn't hurt me to go and turn whatever on to enjoy the benefits of electricity, even though I have no true understanding of how it's coming to me, and I still don't understand how the station might be here and my house is here, but my electricity is coming from someplace maybe three states away or something, if they got it into that type of a grid or something, and they're changing that stuff around. I don't know. I don't understand it, but it doesn't make me sit in the dark. Well, I don't understand this, so I'm not going to turn it on. I'm just going to sit here in the dark and be hot. When the sun comes up, I'll have light. But many people today don't want to touch or even share the Holy Spirit because it's like, how are you going to explain it? Well, I can't, other than Jesus said that he'll come. And then when he comes, he'll lead you into truth and guide you into things of what God says, and he'll do what God shows him. And it's an important part of our walk. It's the important part of our renewing, because we are renewed by the Holy Spirit. He comes into us and he revitalizes us. How do we learn the things of God? We can read his scriptures and we can understand all of that stuff in the human form of understanding of, oh yeah, that's good, that's good, that's good. But unless it goes from the mind into the heart, it does no good. It's not out of the mind the mouth speaks. What? It's out of the heart that the mouth speaks. If we spoke out of our mind, well, I guess sometimes we tell people, you're speaking out of your mind. Have you ever heard that? Is that just me? You're speaking nonsense. You're speaking out of your mind. You don't know what you're saying. Your mind is good for intellect, but your mind sometimes, if it doesn't compute, your mind goes, it doesn't compute, it can't be right. Your heart says, well, it doesn't compute, but it seems to work, so why fight it? Just go with it. Go with the Word of God. Go with what God is saying of the Holy Spirit. But we find our renewal comes through these times with the Holy Spirit being regenerated and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he had poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. I didn't even pick on that, but abundantly. He poured it out abundantly. God is not a chintzy God. God is not going, well, you know, if I had a bucket of water here, go, okay, here's what I'm going to pour out for Tim. Oh, that's enough. If I had something here, I wouldn't get the carpet wet. I'd just say, nope. He would say, here's Tim, here's my vessel. And he would just begin to, now how am I going to get that back in the bottle? I need a glass. God sends himself and puts himself into us abundantly. God wants you and loves you so much, he will put himself abundantly into you. The Holy Spirit comes through that of Jesus Christ as we are filled and say, Lord, come and fill me now, Lord. The Holy Spirit comes in, and it says here, he poured out on us abundantly through Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ our Savior. God is an abundant God. God wants to pour more of himself in you then you realize that he wants to. We put limits on him. We want to stop it to a point, because we get to a point where we go, well, if he fills me all the way, then what am I going to have for myself? Well, die to yourself. You don't need yourself anyway. Allow him to come fully in and fill you up from the soles of your feet to the top of your head, and just let it all be God. Amen? Let it all be God. myself included. That's why we end up with frustrations throughout the days and the weeks, and that's why we get to these points of, oh, God, what do you want from me? But if I would just, I know, listen to what I'm telling you, and just say it's everything for him. Spirit, soul, body, mind, strength, everything. Just be totally filled and use him, or allow him to use you in every aspect of your life. If we could get to that level, life will be continued good. Oh yeah, you'll go through problems. Yes, you'll go through problems and stress and situations. But like we said earlier in the service, we just need to call. God is saying, I'm waiting for you to call. You may be filled up with him. He might be filled with the Holy Spirit and all that. But if you don't make a call, amen? He's not going to come in there and say, okay, I'll do this or do that. It's like you've got to step back saying, I'm a child of God. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I am all his. I'm a kingdom. I'm in part of his kingdom. His kingdom is in me. I'm not going to put up with this anymore, devil. God, come and fight my battles. God, give me wisdom on how I need to fight. If I need to do it myself, Lord, tell me how to do it. Sometimes he'll point you to an article. Maybe he'll send you to a magazine or whatever if it's a health situation. It's an amazing thing how God speaks into our lives. He'll use his word. And I believe there's times he has spoken into me when I have gotten down to the point of saying, Lord, if it's to be healed, I'm going to be healed by you. But Lord, if there's something that I should do, if there's something that I am capable of doing to help, what is it? And if he would say, Tim, you don't have to do anything, you're going to be healed, I'd step back and say, well, praise God. But I also want to say, Lord, what is it that I should be doing if it's to help? I know you're the almighty and all-knowing and all-powerful. But, you know, I think sometimes God says, you know, if you do this, this will happen. If you do this, things will change this way. And it's just listening to him to say, you're my creator and you're my provider. I come to you for everything, Lord. But there's responsibility on my part. It's things that I've got to be listening to and watching and paying attention to. And it's crazy. I mean, it's sometimes it's just things that maybe you're going through an issue or something. I'd say a health thing or something maybe. And all of a sudden something comes through this or that or an article or something in a magazine search on, you know, if you got one of these magazines now that's hooked up to everything, you just look at news stuff and all of a sudden something health-wise comes up and you go, oh, that's interesting, you know. And sometimes you read that and you go, maybe that's what I need. Maybe that'll help. I'm not saying God's always going to do that, and I'm not going to say that God can't heal you miraculously. I'm not going to say that God can't provide and do all these things instantaneously. But I guess I want to be to the point to where I want to rely on God, but I don't want God to think that I'm just living off of him. I'm just using you, God. You know, whatever I can get out of you, I'll use you. I want to come with a clean heart, a pure heart, a heart to where I can come to him and just say, Lord, help me. And yes, thank you. Renew in me. Renew my mind. Renew all these things in me, Lord. What can I do, if anything? But I already know that he's my God. I already know that he's all powerful. I already know that he can do many things and he can make, you know, all these things come about that would be a benefit to me in many things, whether it's physical and areas of spirituality of things, of understanding of his word, of finances, at home, job, whatever the case might be. When we look at this word regeneration and renewing, as we think of this, it's a word, renew, comes from a Greek word that is a combination, or they can use a combination of this, again and new. So the word is suggesting a renovation, a restoration, a transformation, and a change of heart and life. So the word renew, out of this Greek combination of things, one side of it says again, and the other side of that word says new. He will make all things new again. See, we go through life and we feel like our life is used up. Amen? What am I going to be used for? Look what I've done. Look at the sins in my past, or look at this happening here. What good am I going to be? but he renews these things in us. Amen. We become new again. The word suggests renovation, restoration, transformation, and a change of heart and life. You that sit here today, you truly know when someone has come into a relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they begin to receive the things that God has for them, you begin to see a difference in their lives, don't you? They talk different, maybe. They don't go where they used to go. They've changed some elements of their life. Maybe they've begun to change their friends that they hang around with because they realize these friends are really no good for them, that it's their friends that are going to drag them back into whatever it is that God just brought them out of. But they begin to change. They begin to have that sensitivity. I think as we receive Jesus Christ as the Lord, and maybe as we say the sinner's prayer with someone, you know, it's like, oh, Lord, fill them with the Spirit, and Lord, just lead and guide them now, and just show them, Lord, the things in their life and how you're going to work and how you're going to take care of it. Because remember, transformation, restoration, renovation, a change of heart and a change of life. You change a person's heart, and their life will be changed. Change a heart, change a life. When we looked at Romans 12:2, remember about, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing there indicates a complete change for the better, an adjustment of one's moral and spiritual vision. The Holy Spirit plays a major part in transforming of our life. A complete change for the better. How many have ever come to God and it's gotten worse, you know? It's like, now I realize that as we say this and we receive Christ, we'll realize that now the enemy doesn't like that because the devil saw this person that they had in their kingdom now has switched over, and they will try to come and make it miserable, or they'll try to, because people say, man, I received Christ, but it seems like I'm still having problems. Well, it says in his word, you'll still have problems. We didn't say you're going to have a bed of roses to sleep on for the next 50 years and everything's going to be good. We just say you know where you're going to go in eternity. You're going to spend eternity in heaven. You're going to go back to him. But while you're here, you're a child of God, and he'll see you through these things. He will help you through these things. He will give you strength. He will be whatever you call upon him to be. But it's going to be a lot on your part, here again, to allow him to move in to do these things. You know, just because you come to Christ and you've got a lot of side sin over here, it's going to be to the point to where, well, that sin on the side is going to eventually corrupt this over here, and pretty soon it's not going to work totally, and you're going to be frustrated, and you're going to say, what is it that I need to do? And it's like, you know, once we repent of the sin and let it go, don't keep holding on to it or go back to it or try these things to say, well, I'm okay at this point, but I'm going to still do this. You know, you can't serve those two masters. You got to serve one or the other. 2 Corinthians says this, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Look around you. That person next to you, just in the last hour, they've gotten older. Their outer flesh is deteriorating just before your eyes. Me too. As you've been looking at me, have I changed? Have I gotten crunchier over and all? Whatever, you know. Our outer man is perishing. Our outer man is changing, you know. 2 Corinthians says, therefore, do not lose heart. Even though our outer man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Your spirit man. Amen. Hallelujah. That in you, your spirit being renewed by the Holy Spirit. Your mind inside is being renewed. Your heart is being renewed. Your body, you're just, the spirit is just being renewed of these things. And I'm going to tell you, if you can allow him to renew the inside of you, and if he can renew your heart and to make your heart a cheery, happy heart and a joyful heart, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. You know, all the stuff that we deal with in life, of the anxieties and the stress and all, it's all where? Is it on the outside or is it on the inside that affects us? It first affects us on the inside. Now, some of the things that begin to change on your internal parts might affect your outside parts as far as a sign of this or that. I don't know exactly what I'm saying, but I'm sure it's out there. It makes sense. But it starts on the inside, And as the inside goes through stress and problems and gets beaten down inside and not being renewed or revitalized as it should, pretty soon the telltale signs comes to the flesh and the doctor looks at those things saying, oh, you've got this, you've got that, your eyes, blah, 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 you know. Look at a person's eyes, tells them a lot about what's going on in your makeup, in your body as well. There's so many things that I don't understand, but I like to talk about them. No, I don't understand it, but it just is there. But I just read that, understanding God's vision of things or his word on it. But it's like, yes, the end man is being restored. We're being renewed. And if we can stay renewed and be strong inside, your outer flesh will show the signs of it, even though, yes, it's meaning that we're all dying. It's just, you know, we're all aging. We're getting wrinkles where we shouldn't have wrinkles, you know. Oh, I can go on, but it gets kind of terrible after that. After the wrinkles. I always pay attention to these commercials come on, and these people now they've got these creams that put on, and these wrinkles vanish. It's like, does it really work, I wonder? I never bought it, but it's like, that'd be pretty neat, but I don't know. But I do find this out. It does say that it takes more muscles to frown than it does to laugh. So when you see somebody frowning, you say, oh, you're really using a lot of muscles today.
What are you talking about? I ain't gonna use no muscles.
You're frowning. It says that's just common understanding of the physiologically of the body. You're using more muscles to frown. Smile! Smile! Hallelujah. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. God is renewing you day by day. It's great to be renewed. And in one of the final scriptures here, Colossians 3:8-10. This is out of a... But now, put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices. The old self practices a lot of stuff, doesn't it? The old self practices slander, wrath, anger, filthy language. Oh, that's the old self with its practices. But in verse 10, and have put on the new self. How many here are a new self? I'm a new self. Hallelujah. You are being renewed in the knowledge according to the image of your Creator. See, it's the best, guys. As we get to that level of saying, renew in me, Lord, renew in me, He's going to renew you. We were created in His image, amen? We created in His image, but we got kind of messed up, you know, in the fall. But now with Jesus, now He comes and He's renewing us, that we are becoming renewed in His image. We are becoming a new person, a new creature, amen? New creation. All things have passed away. Those old things are in the past. All things are new now that you come into. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Amen? And He wants to create in you a new heart. He wants to renew your mind because He knows those are the two vital parts of your makeup. If you can get the mind and the heart readjusted into the things of the heavenlies, you will be renewed, restored, refreshed, regenerate it, you name it. It'll just happen. But you've got to turn it over to Him and say, renew me, Lord. Renew me, like your word says it will, or like you will. Amen. Well, I hope you leave here today renewed.